Hi, everybody. I'm Paul Yeager. This is the MTOM Show Podcast Studios at Iowa PBS, based in Johnston, Iowa. Glad to have you along with us for the ride today as we go to the auction barn. We are going to find out what it takes to sell a nearly $1 million bull. We're going to talk about some great Western names like Deadwood and Remington and Maverick. We're going to talk with Poss Angus out of Scotia, Nebraska. Nolan Poss is our guest today. He's going to tell us about how he fits into the family business, how Grandpa and his father and now his brother and he are finding a place in their diversified operation. Now, when I say diversity, we'll talk about what they're into, what they do, but mostly we're going to talk about some genetics, talk a little bit about how the beef business works, and are these animals being bred for show? Or are they more for the feed yard? We'll talk about that in this installment of the MTOM Show Podcast. If you have any feedback for me, guest ideas, paul.yeager@iowapbs.org is the email to use. I always appreciate all the pitches that we get. And I really am touched when I hear about people sharing this podcast. Follow it if you like so you never miss an episode, which comes out every Tuesday morning at the crack of midnight. So your Tuesday is started off right with this podcast. Aren't you glad to be able to do some activities indoors related to the farm when it is as cold as it is right now, Nolan?
Yeah, it's nice to get a little break from outside with these frigid temperatures.
As you and I have been going back and forth to set this up, I keep asking about the weather. You missed the foot of snow a couple of weeks ago, but you did get some wind. I'm in really cold temperatures right now. A friend of mine in South Dakota, I just looked at one of his pictures. He said 24 below on his truck this morning. What was it for you today?
So I got here to the yard this morning and it was about -12 roughly. But it wasn't as bad as yesterday. We had a lot of wind yesterday. And so it wasn't as cold, but that wind chill was a lot worse. And we don't have any wind today. So that it made a big difference. It's a little more tolerable.
So you're in Scotia, Nebraska. Tell people where that's at who might not be familiar.
Yep. So Scotia is located about 45 minutes north of Grand Island, Nebraska. We're just off of 281, about 8 miles to the west.
And that is, I call it center west Nebraska. Is that pretty accurate? Or are you pretty much straight
just
center?
Just about dead center.
Yeah.
Just about dead center.
So the center of the state, everything revolves around you and Nebraska. Let's just call it what it is.
We can go with that.
I like that. So tell me about the farm. What is the operation there?
So my dad started back in kind of the early 90s farming with my grandpa right out of college. They just had a small commercial cow-calf operation and then farmed some. About that time, my dad kind of started getting pretty serious into the registered Angus cattle. He'd go around to local purebred sales and just start buying registered heifer calves and then just mating them to certain bulls and kind of having a criteria and having a goal in mind of what he wanted to produce and get out of those cattle. Fast forward today and we run a fairly sizable diversified operation. We run quite a few cows. Everything's registered Angus. And then we also farm a fair amount as well.
Okay, let's go back to the genetic side. So does your dad or your granddad, did they have backgrounds other than just working on the farm is one thing, but did they have any formal training in genetics?
So my dad got a degree down at the University in Lincoln in animal science. And so that's kind of where he got his experience, education, I guess you could say. My grandpa didn't have any background or anything like that. So it was all basically what he got from the university and then self-taught.
So what was grandpa's name?
Melvin.
And what's dad's name?
Danny.
So Melvin and Danny. So Melvin, he knew what a good cow looked like though, right? I mean, he had the eye and he knew.
Yep. He had a pretty good, commercial cow-calf operation. And my dad just always had a passion for genetics and adding value to the cattle. And that's where it all kind of started.
So then did you have any outside consultant help on you know, because I mean, we did a story years ago with our longtime market analyst, Walt Hackney. He had this group out in Montana and Colorado and other areas where they had identified a certain set of genetics that they wanted to enhance. Is that kind of what your dad wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, he had a type and kind that he knew he wanted, you know, and he was on the livestock judging team down at the university as well. And he always tells the stories of how he had some, you know, teammates on the judging team, and they always told him, well, you can't get calving ease, carcass, maternal, and growth all in the same package. And he always told himself that he could. And now we're kind of flourishing with being able to combine all those traits into one. So you really can have it all. And that's where that kind of came from as well. So that, I mean, and then the other aspect is combining phenotypic value. You know, our primary customer is the commercial cattleman. So these cattle got to look right, and they got to have a strong phenotypic presence. And that's a big part of our selection criteria. So just making sure we have that type and kind and the right size and flushing ability, that's all a big factor. The phenotype comes first.
Don't you love when you're told you can't do something and it kind of motivates you?
Yeah, it's pretty rewarding.
Do you consider yourself dad hard-headed?
No, not he's usually fairly easygoing.
Yeah. Just determined. You know, let's say that. Determined,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's very forward thinking. We try to stay very progressive. And that's really carried on to my brother and I as well, as we're both now back here full time.
Well, I was going to ask, so where does Nolan fit into this then? And then your brother?
Yep. So I graduated from the university as well about 2 years ago. I graduated in 20. And so I've been home since then full time. And my brother, he's finishing up his last year of school online right now. So he's home full time as well. Just finishing remotely is all. But he likes to joke, you know, we're back now, but we never really left. So we got a house about a mile south of my parents. And so we're close, and we all get to work together every day. And it's very humbling and rewarding.
So your background then, how do you see yourself fitting into this then? What's going to be your goal? A role.
So, I guess, I mean, we're all working towards the same goal. You know, we want to create the best product we possibly can for the commercial sector of the beef industry. You know, we really enjoy selling cattle to, you know, our commercial customers, and we really like to get to go, help market their feeder cattle and watch them at the sale barn with them and, whatnot. So getting to see that is really rewarding, and being able to see those customers with a smile on their face after they market those cattle is the end goal. And I guess the big picture goal is just to keep raising a good product like that and keep growing a customer base that can be successful and create a reputable brand.
Well, and those are all really good goals to have. And, you know, I guess, do you see yourself as more utilizing the genetic side of things? I mean, how important is genetics versus marketing versus research? You got to kind of do all these things to kind of stay ahead of the game.
Yep. I mean, it's definitely a full-time job, and I mean, you really got to love it to be in it. I mean, it's 24/7, 365 days a week. If you're slacking, you'll probably fall behind. And so, I mean, we're constantly always looking for new genetics. We spend a lot of time out looking for those new genetics and just doing our research to find those next good, you know, those next great herd bulls and possibly the next best donor cow, and being able to incorporate those genetics into our herd that'll help continue to take us to that next level.
So if you graduated in 20 from Lincoln, your brother is, we'll just say there, even though it's a virtual thing, The big deal that happened, the reason we're talking is because of what happened in 2021. You had a sale, and there was a pretty big sale. What happened?
So we raised a bull named Poss Deadwood, and like we talked before, you know, he's one of the strongest outliers in the Angus database for calving ease, growth, carcass, maternal, phenotype, foot quality, structural integrity. I mean, everything just fell into place. And, you know, we had a pretty good marketing plan, and he kind of just took off, and, he was pedigree diverse, and that helped a lot. So having those qualities and those attributes really played a large focus on how he was able to, create the buzz that he did throughout the industry. Not just in the Angus breed either. You know, we had a lot of interest from Simmental people, the Brahmin people down south. I mean, he in international too, there was a lot of interest. So he really commanded a very broad spectrum of people to view him. And with that, he was able to command a price of $900,000 last February at our production sale.
So where'd the name Deadwood come from?
So he's out of a bull named Maverick who we also raised. That was the other thing is, you know, most of his pedigree is our breeding. He's out of a bull named Maverick that we raised ourselves. And then his mother is out of a bull named Easy Impact that we also raised ourselves. So he's got a full generational pedigree predominantly with our prefix. And, but with the name, we had Maverick, and we've kind of stuck to those kind of Western, older Western names. And, you know, we wanted a name that when you went through a pen of bulls and you saw the initials on a tag of a calf, it just hit you that you knew what that bull was. And we thought Deadwood was just perfect for him because everybody would put DW on a tag and it just really rang a bell. And so it worked out really well.
It wasn't tied to a TV show or anything like that?
No, I mean, a little, because we had a Maverick son the year prior that brought 140,000. And he'd be a three-quarter blood brother to Deadwood as well. And we named him Rawhide. So there we got Rawhide, and now we got Deadwood, and they're very closely related. So it's kind of following that same trend for the names.
Who comes up with the names?
Oh, it's a group effort.
A lot of sitting around family. The shop, coming around or around the dinner table. What about this one? Ooh, what about this one? What about that one?
There's a lot of names shot down, I can tell you that.
What's the one you can tell me that's been shot down that you can say on TV?
Well, specifically, we got two bulls that'll be selling on our sale this year, and we wound up naming them Winchester and Remington. We call them the Bullet Brothers, and they're actually maternal brothers to Rawhide. And we really wanted to have two good names that went hand in hand with each other. And the name, my brother and I thought doing that, we had a couple names, Brennan and Dale, like off of Step Brothers, but that one got shot down pretty
quick. It just doesn't evoke a heavy, tough Western outlook that you're saying that these bulls have a name. You're naming a Will Ferrell character and a John Riley. It just doesn't quite have the same, does it?
We thought it'd click pretty well.
But the right generation.
Yeah, it'd be different.
It would be. I like that, how those names get shot down. I mean, we talk about names for things all the time, and what you come up with is always kind of fun. All right, let's go back to when you raised this bull on your... How old was Deadwood when he was sold?
So he was about 18 months when he sold. He was a fall bull. So he had a little more age compared to your typical yearling bulls that sell on a sale. So that also helped with the whole marketing plan. We were able to get him collecting semen beforehand, which really helped his case out as well. So, and having that age just really solidifies a little bit more assurance to the buying public.
And you still have some of that semen around, I'm guessing, if you collected some already and you're able to use it and add some of the cows that you have left behind.
Yep. So we sold 100% interest in possession of the bull, but we were able to retain 200 units of semen for in-herd use a year.
In-herd. So you couldn't sell it.
Yep.
Is that what that meant?
No. Okay. No. And we, you know, our big thing is we want the customer to get all the profit of selling. You know, they ponied up and they paid that amount. So it's their right to get all of the profit.
Where did Deadwood go?
So he's in McCook, Nebraska. And he's actually had a very successful year. They're getting awfully close to actually having the bull paid for. So he's had it's been a unique marketing plan with the ownership team. They've done a limited availability focus. There's only been select amounts of semen sold on him. So it's been very, very cool to see how it's all come together. And it's been a completely different deal that's really never been done before in the Angus breed.
Yeah. So where did do you think that that'll be a little bit of a playbook you pull from, say, this week in your sale or future sales, or other marketers are thinking, wow, you know what, that worked, we might try that approach?
You know, there's been some people that have gone with that approach now, just since we've sold the bull, because they've seen how it worked. You know, I don't know if it'll happen on any of the bulls this year, but that's kind of up to the new owners. Consider, you know, we still sell 100% of all the bulls. So however they go about wanting to produce semen or market semen on those bulls will be their decision to make.
Okay. Do you think you have interest in the Bullet Brothers this week?
There's a steady amount of interest.
What does that mean? I guess I should ask, what does that exactly mean that you have interest?
So just people calling, asking about the bulls and just demand for them. You know, it's kind of been a royal pedigree, to be quite honest. We were able to get three straws of semen on this bull real early. He had just sold that. He sold the same spring as Rawhide, and we knew that he would be a really good complementary mating to go on Rawhide's mother. So we went with that, and we flushed her and got embryos out of that mating. We were able to get those embryos put in fresh, which resulted in more conception. We had a female sale the following November, and we had a heifer pregnancy in our female sale out of that same mating. Well, a couple weeks before that sale, the bull quit producing semen, and I think he actually died. So it created more value for that pregnancy on a calf that wasn't even born yet. So that calf ended up bringing 31,000 and went to a good friend of ours that lives north of here up in Atkinson, Nebraska, and Dennis Garwood at Green Valley Cattle. And he ended up having a retirement dispersal this last November. So he had that calf on the ground. Well, he in turn turned around and sold that heifer calf for $90,000. So he made pretty good money on that heifer, and she created a lot of stir as well in the industry. So there's been previous things that have helped build the interest on these bulls as well. They're the only two bulls out of that flush, so that helps a lot.
Did you learn more at home or in Lincoln? I'm not trying to invalidate your education, but it sure sounds like you've gotten a pretty good set of background here for what you're doing.
It's awfully hard to beat hands-on training. There's not much that'll teach you more of anything than being here every day and getting the opportunity to work hands on.
Yeah, and that's okay that there's that off farm experience. But do you think that there's going to be phone calls that come in to the family about helping somebody else set up a similar situation, a possible consulting business that you might be able to branch off, or what do you see a vision of the future here of the Paas Angus farm?
We like to help the younger generation get started. It means a lot to us, especially for where my dad came from. So we're always eager to help the younger people that, are wanting to get started and stuff like that. I wouldn't say we'll start a consulting business, but, we're always here to give advice and, just talk cattle and help people out. So that's a big part of it, I would say, in the future as well.
Do you find yourself maybe insulated from the day-to-day movings of the cattle market, live cattle and feeders and things like that, with what you're doing?
No, we feed out a fair amount of cattle as well, so we're pretty in tune with the markets on a day-to-day basis. So and just being able to track along with feeder cattle sales and everything like that, it's a big part and being able to stay current with the market industry.
And know what people want.
Yep. It's very critical to be able to see the trends in the industry.
So do you find that these genetics that, say, Deadwood had, or maybe some of these other bulls had, is better for the feedlot? And does some of it translate well to, say, the show ring?
His genetics will be primarily better for the feedlot versus the show ring. We've got production oriented cattle, so there's not necessarily as much emphasis on the show ring necessarily. We still want our cows to look like cows and bulls to look like bulls. We want femininity and masculinity, so that's very critical as well.
What's the best part of all of this excitement over the last year over a headline grabbing sale?
I would say the best part about it all is just being able to work with our family every day and being able to take in the rewards with our family. We get to work together every day and we're a very close-knit family. We all eat supper together every night and talk about the day and what we got going on the next day. And it's a very, very important part of our lives. I got two sisters that are still in high school, Neely and Natalie. And then my mom is also a very integral part of our operation as well.
What's her role?
So she does a lot of the bookkeeping primarily. During harvest, she'll run a grain cart for us. She helps a lot with night calving when we're busy with calving and stuff. She'll come out and help process cattle. She can do about anything we ask her to. And the best one of them all is she cooks every meal.
Delivery too?
If we ask her nicely.
If we ask her nicely, yeah. Hey, Mom, could you bring that out? That'd be great. Thanks, Mom. Love you, Mom. Your sisters, tell me about your sisters and what they... you say they're in high school. Do they have eyes on returning back to the family business?
They're both interested in the medical field, more so, but they got their own cows. So they've got interest in it and, they help just as much as well. They go out and they, help night calf, when they get home from practice and stuff, they'll go out and run through cows and, whatnot. And then they're here on the weekends, obviously too. So, They've got an interest, but I think they'll always be rooted here.
Well, in that medical background, genetics is a major part. You've just mentioned embryo. There's all sorts of medical background and base knowledge that they're going to be able to take with them.
Yep, exactly. The biggest thing about it all is it teaches you hard work and perseverance.
How was the corn crop this year for you?
It was excellent. We had some of the best yields we've ever had. here, and it was steady throughout our area. And you know, we were short of rain this summer a little bit, but yields were awfully good where it was irrigated.
And then you keep everything, or do you sell some off?
So we primarily sell it all to a local ethanol plant, is where about 90% of our crop will go.
So you're go ahead, keep going.
We chop a fair amount of silage, so that goes into feed, and then we'll usually we feed through some corn in our rations. But then we also get modified distillers from the ethanol plant. So really, in turn, it's all full circle.
Who's helped on the feed side of things, of trying to figure out best feed practices?
We have a really good consulting nutritionist. He's been awesome to work with. He's been with us for several years now. And, you know, when he came on, we were really excited to have him. And he's helped with, you know, increasing conception rates and really just helping from a nutritional aspect, just improve our operation.
I think I asked you this earlier. I want to circle back just, you know, when you decided to come back to this farm, did you feel always that there was a place for you? Just like there might be a place for your brother and your sisters, if they would choose to come back, that's maybe different than other farms, because sometimes there's only so much land. But I mean, you've rattled off a number of interests and vines that your family has. Do you feel that also helped set you up and allowed you to return home?
Yeah, I mean, our operation is very diverse. So having my brother and I both at home it's really valuable to the operation. You know, we both have our own different interests, but you know, the biggest thing is we pitch in and help when needed. You know, and you know, nothing goes unattended, and we just want everything to run smoothly and keep it working like a well-oiled machine.
So what will Friday's sale look like? Is that all online?
So it'll be a live event here. It'll be available online through Superior Livestock and DV Auction, both carriers online. And then we'll have bulls pinned up outside of the sale barn. It'll be here at the ranch. We're just about 2 miles straight south of Scotia. And so everything will be here, and then we'll have a meal before the sale, and then there'll be a prime rib after the sale and with refreshments as well.
Man, that sounds like just for that, I should come over. You picked a show day though. We record the show on that day. How can you do that to us?
No. Oh, geez. Well,
you're supposed to say, Paul, maybe you could remote record that day from here.
Well, you could.
It's always possible. Okay, so when you say bulls penned up, how many are we looking to move here that day?
So there'll be about 225 bulls for sale.
And are they all yours?
Ready? There's about 140 yearlings. There'll be about 60 fall-born bulls, and then there'll be about 25 two-year-old bulls.
Busy day.
It's a long day, but it's gratifying and rewarding.
All right, Nolan. I appreciate all of this, this time to talk about, you know, what happened last year and just hear about your operation. I'm always fascinated how everybody's set up, and I think some people will benefit. I don't think you gave any big trade secrets away today, right? Did you?
Oh, hope not.
Hope not.
Keep them in my back pocket.
Sounds good. Nolan Poss from Scotia, Nebraska. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
My thanks to Nolan Poss as their sale happens this Friday. And you can watch that online, as he mentioned in our discussion. Thank you so very much for watching. Hit me up or the show for feedback, market to market at iowapbs.org. Until next time, we'll see you later.